Yeah, yeah, no. You ask him. Everything's working?
Okay.
Yeah, he'll get it back. He'll get, oh, coolness. Okay. Let me just write his name on it. I've never kept a safer or anything lent to me that they want back. They get back. Okay. No problem. All right. Let's begin. Today is, that clock is fast. Today is Sunday, the 19th of May, 2013, and I say hello to my students in front of me and to all those listening across the world. I want to mention that tell me, Nathaniel, are you a Lubavitcher? You have Lubavitcher roots? Baruch Hashem. Because I got to tell you, next year, if Reitz wants me to teach, there has to be at least one chassid in the class. Because when I speak a little chassid, it's lost. I want to tell you, an Adam Gadol died this past week. And I want to dedicate the shiur in his memory and say a few words about him. Reb Leibel Bistritzky. Mean anything to you? You'll understand in a minute who he is. But let me tell you about Reb Leibel. Reb Leibel Bistritzky, first of all, was married to Rabbi Revel's niece. It's Mrs. Revel's brother's daughter was his wife. I believe she should live and be well, and Laricha Jamim Tovim. If you know what a chassid is, what the relationship to a Rebbe is, and here my Talmidim who are chassidim corrected me, because when I spoke about Das Torah, I made the point that the Litvish Welt learned this from the chassidish world, and they made the point, and they're correct, that in chassidus, a Rebbe is more than Das Torah. A Rebbe is also a father figure. And Reb Leibel and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, if there ever was a chassid and a Rebbe, it was Reb Leibel Bistritzky. Now, how do I know him? When I went into the Rabbin in 61-62, so I moved to outside Philadelphia, Ballykinwood. Today, anywhere you live in America, you can get kosher food. Those days, it's before Empire, before the frozen meat. And Leibel used to drive a refrigerated truck and go to all the communities in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and the truck was stocked with cheese, chickens, meat, fabulous. And he always had, it wasn't just a business, he always had a Hasidic thought for you. Later, when the chickens and the meat went all over the world, Reb Moshe's Triv, I can't go into details now, Shrutei Chutz, these are concepts you don't even learn about today because it's not Shayach. But I can still remember World War III in Philadelphia over Empire kosher chickens. So Leibel opened up a cheese store on the east side of New York. That's where Steve Breslin knows him from. It was a famous cheese store. Azav varam a mensch. All right, he was Zechel Aricha Jamim. He left hundreds and hundreds of direct descendants, all his children in Chabad and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. All right, there may be a few exceptions, so I hope they follow Rabbi Revel if they're not Chabadnikim. But I want to tell you the sad part of his life, and he overcame it. I don't know how many of us would have the ability to overcome a tragedy like this. His son, Reb Levi Yitzchak, was the Rav of Tzvat. Reb Levi Yitzchak, a Chabadnik, a Talmud Chacham, was the Ashkenazic Rav of Tzfat, beloved by one and all. And when the Rebbe died and the insanity began with the Messianics, a Messianic moron ran him over and he died. He didn't die immediately, he was very badly injured, he suffered a year and a half, the moron is in jail rotting away, and Reb Leibel had to bury a beloved son, a Talmud Chacham, Yirei Shamayim. I'll tell you one little story, I don't have time to tell stories, but one story you should never forget. It shows you what Chassidim are capable of doing. When my daughter graduated and became the first Tohenet Rabbani in the history of our people, so Na'amat, that's the women's organization of the Histadrut, jumped on her with an Aguna case. And they asked her to take it on. They've been waiting for a woman who's religious and sensitive. And it turns out This young woman is an aguna, 8-9 years. She lives in Tzfat. No one knows what happened to her husband, but Taina found out they're chabatnikim. So I told Taina, call Rabbi Bistritsky, the chief rabbi of Tzfat. Tell him your father, who your father is, and tell him you need his help. Taina calls. Within 2 days, he located the recalcitrant husband, learning in a kollel in Ashdod. I'll come back to the husband in a second. And Taina asked me, Abba, I never saw anything like it. I call Rabbi Bistritsky. He hears your name. He's filled with Derech Eretz. How do you know him? I said, I don't really know him, but he knows that I wrote my doctorate on his great uncle, and the family's Makatoiva, because all that remains of Rabbi Revel is Bernard Revel, builder of American Jewish Orthodoxy. Anyway, he was tremendously helpful. So my daughter uncovers the guy, and he says he's willing to give a get, but he wants a share of the apartment. I think it was $15,000 he wanted. This is, you know, about 20 years ago. It's not yesterday. It's heavy money. So where do you get the money? So Rabbi Bistritsky tells my daughter to contact Rabbi Yossel Legutnik's Gabbai Tztaka in Yerushalayim. She contacts his Gabbai Tztaka, and he says, I'll call you back. You call me back in 2 days. And he says to her, can anyone come to meet me in the Legutnik library, which is actually, as you go down to Mea Shearim, there's a, what street is that? The street going past Strauss. What is it? Yecheskel, the continuation of Strauss, Yecheskel. And that's where you have the Chabad Gutnik Library. And I went on Tisha B'Av, I met him, he gives me a check for $15,000. Years later, I met Yossel Legutnik. He hosted me in Melbourne. And I asked for permission to speak publicly about what he did. I mean, this is such chesed. These are such good Jews. And as a Litvak who has lost the battle, and I have to highly recommend this book to you, The Legacy. I want to thank Steve Gross for giving it, the gift to the Rebbe. And I want you to know that it's written essentially by Warren Goldstein. He used Beryl Wine to attract the customers. This is a statement of the Litvish event. It is magnificent. If you read between the lines, Daniel, it's a critique of what has happened out there in the Torah world. We're all Hasidim today. But what can we do? We're Hasidim. Torah. All right, yeah, I'm not objecting. But as a Litvak, I wish there still would be an island of Litvish Yiddishkeit. And now into the Litvish world of Lamdanut and learning. Okay, and today is a very fascinating shiur, an important shiur. I thank the emails I got from America for the first time. I got some compliments on the Sunday shiur, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, let me pick up where I left off.
Maybe confusing him with someone else, but was he a sofer as well?
Who? Rabbi Bistritsky, I don't know, could be one of his children, but I remember Label, I don't remember him as a sofer, I remember him as, it could be. I bought chickens from him, I bought meat, I bought cheese, and I bought the East Side, it was a famous store, Sunday morning, they were lined up outside the store, yeah, what, he anyways had a chassidi shavot for you, as a bottom kind of, what can I tell you, no wonder the chassidim, defeated us Litvakim. All right. I apologize for my Litvish blood, but a little often I would like left. Okay. Anyway, Bishnas HaTachak, when you paskin is not the kids of Shulchan Aruch. And this is the Kuntas HaShach, and this is what we're talking about. And I showed you not only Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, but a little guy, do me a favor, turn on the air conditioning and move it to 22. But a little, if you know how to do it, if not, Ephraim, you know. But a little guy like Aaron Rav Kefet, I follow in the tradition of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, I put together a Sveik Sveika, Rav Ovadia, and Rav Mashash, and Rav Yisraeli, and how we were matir, and a guna that she doesn't need chlitza and was able to remarry. Now, is this lachatchila what we did? No, we were samach and shita techuyot. But bishat hadachak, a posek is permitted to do this way and act this way. Now, I ended off last week's share and I told you the biggest problem we have in modern times is mamzeret. It's interesting. Mamzeret was not a problem. It's interesting. Geirut and mamzeret, if you look into the sources, you will find next to nothing for 1,000 years. Next to nothing. For a very simple reason. Anyone who converted to being a Jew risked his life. I don't have to go further than Chagas Shvuot, when there's a in the Litvish Welt, people say Kaddish for the Ger Tzedek from Vilna, who was executed on Shavuot. Whenever the Rav spoke about the Count, the Ger Tzedek, he broke down and cried. So anyone who converted risked his life. When you risk your life, it's a serious conversion. So you have mamish. If you can go to the Barilan computer, you'll find next to nothing on Gavit in the whole Shulchan Aruch. I think it's two simanim. It's unbelievable how little there is. Modern times, more has been written in Gavit. In the state of Israel, we've been fighting over this issue for 65 years, and there's going to be plenty of bloodshed yet on this issue. Okay, without going into the politics. But you all understand it's a burning issue. Okay. Mamzeret, whoever heard of Mamzeret? Whoever heard of Mamzeret? I mean, good Jews, Matan Torah, Lotinaf. My wife says that the worst thing, she says when she hears the Ten Commandments, she has no Yetzirah for anything except for one, looking at a beautiful house that someone else has. And she says, that's the lot of a that speaks to her. But which Jew ever thought Mamzeret? All right, there are always going to be sinners, there are always going to be morons, there is going to be apes who put on tefillin. But Mamzeret was not only batel b'shishim, it was batel b'mashehu. So modern times, this is the biggest problem, particularly with the Baal Tshuva movement. And here you have to understand, I just heard Rabbi Dr. Bernard Lander speaking at an RCA convention, must be 35 years ago or so. I just was listening in the car. And he speaks about who would ever dream we would have, and he's saying this in the late 70s, who would ever dream that we would have so many Balei Tshuva? And he's absolutely right. When I was growing up, everyone was running away from Yiddishkeit. Today, Baruch Hashem, people are running to Yiddishkeit. And when you talk about Balei Tshuva, Zilkri Berafu, it's axiomatic, it's all over the place, the Shilas of Mamzeret. All right, I give you a simple example. I spoke about this in the Kola, I don't know if this year, last year, 2 years ago, whatever. But I had right here in this building, I believe it was, and not in this building, it was on Rehov Neely. It was past the first location of BMT on Rehov Ababinel. I think it was on Rehov Neely. Or if not, it was in this building. I remember the kid's name, I don't want to mention it. So this kid suddenly is learning about Shiva. By the way, he didn't remain totally from. I meet him occasionally. He lives here. He's married. I believe it's a second marriage. He's had a hard life, but I see him without a kippah. It bothers me, but you know, at a certain point, you can't say anything. You have to accept what the reality is. And this kid from Queens, kid is from learning in BMT, and suddenly he thinks he's a mamza, and he goes to his Rebbe, and he's talking about it, and the Rebbe told him two things. One, don't say another word about it to anyone. Two, go to Rav Rakefet and tell him your problem. So the kid comes to me, and he tells me his mother was married twice. He's from the second marriage. His mother was totally irreligious. She never got a get. Nope. You start to shiver and shake. This is not Yontif Sheni. I saw half of you davening Yontif Sheni saying Brachot Levatolah, but what can I do? It's Yesh Amila Smok. Yeah, I hope you put on tefillin. That's all I can say. I hope you put on tefillin. But all right, Yesh Amila Smok. Well, it's Yontif Sheni. You can't win. No matter what you do, you cannot win. All right. This is Mamzeirot. So I asked the kid, well, how do you know your mother was married? My mother told me. tell me, who knows your family? Well, we go to the shul, who's the rabbi? Tells me the name of the rabbi. I say, what are you talking about? That guy I grew up with, we cut school together, we went to Yankel Stadium together, I know him intimately. So I call his rabbi. He starts laughing, he says, here's the inside story. His mother was married to a goy. She was ashamed to tell the kid that she was married to a guy, so she never revealed that he was non-Jewish. And of course, she never had a get, but she didn't need a get. She was married to a guy. The second marriage was to a new article of the Nodav Yehuda. All right, the Nodav Yehuda. Some are religious and some are totally irreligious. And second marriage, kids from the second marriage. I told the kid, you're not a mamza. But you see, that story is indicative of the problem. And the problem is basically on the woman's side. In other words, no one's going to come and tell you, I'm a mamza because my father married twice. Your father married twice. Your father married twice. John married twice. Yaakov Avinu had how many wives? No, polygamy permitted. The Catholic Church ate away at the Jews. Look at the church fathers. We're primitives. We're barbarians. We permit polygamy. You understand? All right, polygamy is permitted. Today, all right, Rabbeinu Geshem knocked it out. Svadim today can't get away with it either in the state of Israel. It's the law of the land, the chief rabbinate, the law of the land, the law of the Knesset. Polygamy is forbidden. All right, that's a talk unto itself. You know that I don't shy away from that topic, and I've dealt with it in great length in the Kollel. Is the Torah an eternal document, or is the Torah given within a specific society and needs the ability to adjust every society? And this is an ongoing challenge. Obviously, it's both. It's an eternal document, but the Torah was given at a certain period. I'll show you something after class, a new technological development that will blow your mind. Aye, there's not a word about this in the Torah, not in Shas, not in Peskim, because it was just invented a few years ago in Israel. So, all right. Father, technically, can never create Mamzera, as long as the woman is not an Eshetish. All right, if the woman's an Eshetish, or it's an incestuous relationship, then we have a problem. But 99% of the time, the father is married to this woman. He got divorced, he married another woman, he married a third woman, the kid is from the third marriage, father never gave a get, so the kid is fine. So it generally comes from the mother. Now, when it comes to mamzeret, and this you can't say publicly, the quote of Tzvi Pesach Frank, the average person doesn't understand halacha, doesn't know halacha, doesn't have a mind. Not everyone has a mind to be a gadol b'Torah. Not everyone has a mind to learn Gemara all day. And the worst mistake of the Haredi world, and you hear it all over the place today, is forcing a kid to sit off a benkel to avoid the army, to avoid going to work. So he learns 2 out of 10 hours a day, and the rest of the time they're bottled. It's not everyone has a mind. This is why you have to give full credit to the world in which we grew up in, that we had every opportunity to do whatever we want. You want to learn all day, you want to be a gon, you want to be a tzaddik, you want to be a chassid, absolutely. You want to be a medical doctor, be a medical doctor, be a tzaddik, be a chassid, be a Talmud Chacham, you won't be a gon. So certain things, you know, this is for Talmidei Chachamim. So, when it comes to Mamzeret, and I don't want to go away, when I'll deal with Mamzeret in great depth, I'll give you all the sources. It's a Medrash Rabbah, but we, and a Gunner as well, I can give you all the sources. In these two areas, we go out of our way to try to see if we can be Mekil, because these are human tragedies. It's not like telling someone that he can't eat egg matzah and Pesach. You understand? It's not like telling someone he shouldn't eat marshmallows. All right, you can eat marshmallows with gelatin. Who am I to argue with Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik or with Rav Chaim Isaac Brzezinski? But all right, I have a chumra. I only eat marshmallows today. I make my student, Rabbi David Holzer, wealthy. He has the copyright on it. What's the word? The copyright, or is there a better word? Well, the patent on it, okay? The patent, the copyright. I'm a writer. You have to say copyright. But he has the patent on kosher fish gelatin. Today in Manchester, London, they do a run of millions and millions of kosher marshmallows. You can buy them all over Israel. And Rakefet loves the kosher marshmallows. They remind me of what we used to eat in the early 40s before we knew enough to know that marshmallows have a shayla. It's real. All right, but it's not the end of the world if you don't eat a gelatin marshmallow. Not the end of the world if you have a chumrah that you follow with kriyat shma, you follow the earliest man and not the latest man. But a mamzer and a goner is mamish a human tragedy. Now, there are two sources, and I repeat them again. I gave you the sources last week. Let me just repeat it very quickly. Look into the Rambam, Hilchot Malachim, Perek Yud Bet, Halacha Gimel. In back of every posek's mind when it comes to mamzeret, kiven de nitma nitma'a. And that you'll see, work it backwards, the Gemara in Kedushin. If a mamzer is lost among the Jews, he's never going to be penalized as a mamzer again. When Mashiach comes, he's going to tell you who's a Kohen, who's a Levi, who's the Israel. He's not going to tell you who's a mamzer. So that is very important. Lost in the crowd. And there are reasons why Suffolk Mamzer is mutter d'oraita. Again, I can't do all these sugyas now. We'll talk about that when we deal with Mamzeret. But I'm talking, you'll see the way with Moshe Paskins, that he, within the halachic context, you'll see what he's able to do, because he knows in back of his mind he can be samach on shitat the chuyat, because kiven the nitma nitma. What you said is when I told you a Torah Vadas with that famous case when I was a kid, and this guy was mamish, suspected of being a mamz. I don't know what the details were. That's what I told you. They paskin for him. The Rebbe told him, find an Italian girl in Brooklyn College who wants to convert, and convert her l'shem shifcha kananit. And so you have to know what you're doing here. Have children, and then when you're finished, when she has menopause, you free her, you free the truth. That's the Gemara. I told you that the end of the third parak in Kedushin. And that's why they say, Kesef Matahir Mamzerim. That's where that aphorism comes from. Now it's used positively and negatively. And move away from New York and get lost. All right. Yeah. I know another case where, not Mamzerim, but I know a nice, firm guy. I don't know, God forbid, not mention the name, from Teiru Vadas Nebuch, with a base Nakav girl. The Yates Sahara got the best of them. And she's pregnant. They moved out of New York. They disappeared for 2 years. You follow me? Then they came back and no one asked questions.
But if they moved out of New York, you can marry an actual Jew too. You can never tell
anyone. No. So in Torah Vadas, they did a shtick lachatchila, okay, the Gemara.
Yeah, but you can just,
yeah. That again, you'll see people commented that you can't have a shifcha. No, memela. So you went against the American government on that level. I don't think they're going to prosecute you. This is not the IRS going after the Tea Party. God have mercy, what Obama's gotten into now. Is it good for the Jews, bad for the Jews? I'm waiting to see the Jewish involvement. Okay. Now, so that's one concept. The other concept, and again, I'm not quoting the Gemaras now. I'm just quoting the Rambam to you, and you can work your way backwards. These are entire, interesting, fascinating sugyas. Is the Rambam in Hilchot Isurei Bia Perek Tetvav, Halacha Tetvav, and this too is based upon open Gemaras, open sugyas and shas. Very simple. If a father says his kid is a mamza, the father is believed. The mother is not believed. She does not have that power. The worst she can do is perhaps turn it into a suffek mamsa. But a suffek mamsa is not us in the oraita. Once it's on a rabbinic level, we can play with snifim, lahatia. And this is a very important principle. Now, this comes back to what I said 10 minutes ago. You'll see inevitably that all the shilas that come up about Mamzeret, I never did a survey, but I would say often 90% are mitzad the mother, or even more than 90%. No, when they're mitzad the mother declaring, I was married, I didn't have a get, does not make the kid a mamza. because the mother does not have the koach, the power of the father. All right, now let me say I'll give you this first for Rav Moshe. Let me say a few words about Rav Moshe. I know you live in a world, and I feel very bad what happened this year. You all know I felt for you to see all the machleket here and the take Rav Avadya Yosef and the way he spoke. And you should know on a personal level, Rav Avadya is the nicest, most sensitive, most wonderful person in the world. On a personal level. All right, he's caught up in politics here. I think historians will say 500 years from now when they write about Rav Avadya that his life would have been a lot easier had he not gotten involved in politics. But in Israel, in order to accomplish anything, you need to be a politician, you need a party, you need political power, you need an Ari Dery. Dery is everything that Rav Avadya is not as far as being a political master, tactician, etc., or a political animal, call him what you wish. And by the way, I know Dery personally too, and I can tell you, you have no idea how bright. I've dealt with some of these people on certain matters, and he is bright. But, all right, a politician. Now, excuse me? I didn't hear someone said? No, so, now, Reb Moshe, you have to understand, Reb Moshe, first of all, it's hard for me to speak English when I'm talking about Reb Moshe. Azaz is a mensch. Azefuchains. I don't know how to say this in English. Just what a beautiful human being. We have to be thankful Reb Moshe never learned in a big yeshiva. Had Reb Moshe learned in a Litvishi yeshiva, we wouldn't be talking about him today. And all of you know what I'm saying if you heard my lectures on the history of Torah in modern times, which I gave in the Kollel so many years ago. It's very simple. Once Reb Chaim's method took over, when you have a dialectical approach, it's impossible to paskin. Because you see both sides of the coin. And then I told you my rebbeim of everyone I learned with. I still remember Rabbi Yeruchim Gerelik when I showed him a contradiction between the Orach HaShulchan and the Mishnah Brura. So he says, "Ich weiß nicht allein wie zu paskin. I don't know myself how to paskin." Look, you know, when I went into the rabbinate, one of the earliest shilas I got in Lower Merion Synagogue, I made a fool out of myself. Why? A balabas asked me, he has yotzeit, ad the rishon, ad the bet, when should he hold the yotzeit? So I told him, you know, so machlokes hapoiskim, the svadim do one, yashkenaz another, so the ashkenazic, do it both adorim. So I told this guy to hold the yotzeit both adorim. He walked away and told people, the young rabbi's an idiot. You understand? They can't do it. But you're a Shomer Torah mitzvah. And this Balabas was a total, you know, a second generation American who knew nothing. He belonged to an Orthodox shul. It was convenient. It was cheaper than the temple. But this Reb Moshe knew how to paskin. His father was a shtatrav, and Reb Moshe was a shtatrav, and his uncle, Reb Elie Pruzhana, was a shtatrav. Reb Moshe knew how to paskin. He was not defeated by the brisker dialectical approach. He was Mishamis Reb Pesach Pruskin, who was a shtatrav in Shikolov. Reb Moshe, everyone he knew, the great Rabbanim, he knew how to paskin. Also, the pressures of life. You have to understand, Mori Rebbe, the Einikel of Reb Chaim, had to paskin. Why did he have to paskin? He wound up in Boston. No, you wind up in Boston, people are asking you questions day and night. And you have to give an answer. You can't, and of course, certain questions, even the Rav said, I have in my in the Rav, if you recall, with the artificial insemination, where that lady asks a conservative rabbi, can I do it? She had already done it once, and she became Truman. She went to a conservative temple. And artificial insemination, is the kid a mamzer or isn't the kid a mamzer? Are you allowed to do it or aren't you allowed to do it? AID, we're not talking AIH now. And a conservative rabbi says, I don't know the answer, but there's one rabbi who knows everything. Rabbi Soloveitchik, call him and ask him the question. It's interesting that the Rav doesn't say who this conservative rabbi was. If it was Rabbi Shubo, I understand that he worshipped the ground the Rav walked on. I don't know who it was. So she calls the Rav, and the Rav says, lady, I have to think about this. I don't know what to do. Your first kid you already had with AID. So if I tell you you can't have a second one, then the first one is a mom's. If I tell you you can, then there's no problem, but I don't know, I have to. But Rabbi Soloveitchik, my rabbi, said you know everything. He said, well, the rabbi exaggerated a little, but this is a very difficult question. All right, what the Rav Paskin, we don't know, Besofa Shel Davar. He just told the story, how his conversation with the lady. But Rav Moshe Paskin, and he wasn't afraid to paskin, and he stood his ground. And Reb Moshe, in America in the early 30s into the 40s, 20s, 30s, 40s, Reb Yosef Eliyahu Henkin was the posek achron. But Reb Henkin, we don't have that much in writing. He was busy, he was running Esras Teira, a saintly individual from Sklutz. You have no idea what we're talking about. Rav Henkin, I had spoken learning with him. I knew his family. Reb Moshe already was fortunate. He was in Tiferet Yerushalayim. And he sat in the Beis Medrash. Nu, can anyone tell me? Let me record this for posterity. The phone company put in a special phone on his shtender. Nu, Eli, do you know how the phone worked? It lit up. It did not ring. So it did not disturb the Beis HaMedrash. But it lit up to tell Reb Moshe they want him, there's a Shaila. And Reb Moshe had time already to write. And this is why we have a flood of tshuvot from Reb Moshe in the Igrot Moshe, unlike Reb Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, that really we have two little volumes that take in Kol Kitvei Reb Henkin. The heart of the volume, the Adat Yisrael, that volume is Psak Halacha L'Maisa. But the heart of what Reb Moshe wrote was arguing with Reb Moshe on civil marriage. Hundreds of pages on civil marriage. There was an unbelievable machloket between the Reb Moshe and Reb Henkin, and I can't go into it now. I spent many months on this in the Kollel, maybe a whole year, and I can tell you the Rav agreed with Reb Henkin. The Rav agreed with Rav Henkin. Now, Reb Moshe dealt with endless mamzeret sheilat, but in the later volumes, more than ever. Why? Once again, a reflection of the Baal Tshuva movement. Shaila after shaila, mamzeret. Now, I want to take a medley of sheilat and make tangible what I have just spoken about for the last 35 minutes. Igrot Moshe, Evan Ezra, Chelik Revi'i, the fourth time that Reb Moshe deals with these She'ilat. It came out, this volume came out right before Reb Moshe's death, 1985. Obviously, he was helped by family, particularly his grandson, Rabbi Mordechai Tendler, who I believe lived with him and took care of him. How reliable is the volume? This is a question already with the later volumes, but I would say that these tshuvot are in Reb Moshe's handwriting, evidently. They're dated, and they're not recent ones. They're ones that he had written years before. So I'm inclined to believe that this volume is totally reliable. I don't say the other volumes are not reliable, but once a second and third party is writing down, it's open to critique. Did Reb Moshe really say this? In one of the volumes, there's such a pilpul on yes to observe Thanksgiving Day, not to observe Thanksgiving Day, that I can't believe Reb Moshe wrote so much on Narishkeit, Thanksgiving Day. What's the shaila, of course? Don't observe Thanksgiving Day. Come in Aliyah. If you observe Thanksgiving Day, we're finished. Yiddishkeit is finished. But what can I tell you? In Washington, I contradict myself. So I contradict myself. Then I was an American. Today I am an Israeli. There's a difference. Okay, take it with a grain of salt and a sense of humor. Igrot Moshe, Chelik Dalet and Evan Ezra, Siman Yud Tet. The Shaila, 1975. 78, excuse me. Who is the question addressed to? It's Mordechai Tendler. Nechti hayakar harav hagon malato vado harav rep Mordechai Tendler shluta. And this is evidently a shaila that Mordechai Tendler got. And here's the story, that a man heard from his wife, that heard from her aunt, the aunt being the sister of the grandmother. So in other words, it's mother, mother, child. And it's an aunt telling the grandchild that your mother was married before, during the First World War. She was married to a soldier from the Turkish army. Now, obviously, it's a Jewish soldier from the Turkish army. And afterwards, she married a second time. This is your father. And there was nothing else that the aunt knew. And this person comes to Reb Mordechai Tendler and wonders, evidently, his mother is not religious, the grandmother was not religious. He's worried stiff, she married twice. She didn't get a get in between. And chas v'chalila, he may be a mamza. If the grandmother married twice and didn't have a get in between, and both husbands were Jewish, then this guy's mother is a mamza, and all her children are mamzei. Mamzeirut perpetuates itself. Lo yavodar hasiri b'kal Hashem. In other words, it's ad infinitum, all generations. And this is the question that Rav Mordechai Tendler has. And Rav Moshe says, it's obvious to me that if all the knowledge that she had, a first husband, comes from the grandmother, and everyone knew that she was married to the second man, no one knew it was a second husband, everyone gave her a cheskat kashrut, then women can't come along now and say the kid may be a mamza. Only a father can do this. Not a mother and not a grandmother. Okay? Basic. Watch.
Does this have to do with the fact that they're women? Because in the case of the mother herself, there would also be the thing that by testifying about this, she's convicting herself.
No, there's nothing to do with women. This is a gezeirah takatov. Yakir. You look up the Gemara, that the father is the one who would know this and has the right to testify. The mother does not. It's a gezeirah takatov.
But also, if the mother testifies...
Listen, you're not talking about contemporary civilization. In contemporary civilization, the woman mother says, I messed around with this man, with that man, I didn't have a get. She's a heroine. According to Obama, according to Lapid, she's a heroine. I don't know what's going to come next with the fun people in Lapid's party. You understand? Over the weekend papers say that his party is going to come out for civil marriage and homosexual marriage. And as far as I know, there are at least three people of very great prominence in the party who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvot. You know what you're going to have here? A conflict between Torah Tashem Tamima and Duvi Hartman's viewpoint. Watch what I'm saying. And the worst part is that one of these people is a Ne Yisrael product. If he'd be a YU product, I would feel a little bit more confident. A little bit more confident. But no, I know what I'm saying. Because what can I tell you? He's come from a more narrow world into a big world. God have mercy on what can happen. All right, I hope I'm wrong. Now, but I want to show you something unbelievable. Go to the last paragraph of the Teshuvah. Now, what would you say if two witnesses come along, Reb Moshe says this, two witnesses will come along and will say the woman was married once before during World War I. And they will testify. And you will now know she was married twice, not because of her, not because of her grandmother, but because of two valid women coming and testifying. Two valid Adam coming and testifying. Thank you. Rav Moshe says, that also will not be a problem. That will not be a problem, but you have two witnesses. Okay, and here Rav Moshe introduces a concept that all the Rishonim and all the Achronim have struggled with. And it's the most fascinating concept in all of Hilchot Aguna. If you know the Gemara in Yevama, Daf Kuf Chaf Bet, logic is the oraita. Someone's on a boat that capsizes in the midst of the sea, a plane that goes down, a tank hit by a missile, they're dead. That's logic. Of course they're dead. Midin the oraita, Daniel, that's a chazaka, that's a rov, call it what you wish. It's a rove. All right. The Rabbanim were choishish for a miracle. Jonah jumped out of the well. It happens. The Gemara in Yevama tells a story about Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir. Shipwrecked. They got to shore. In Thailand, right? That's where that manufacturing plant exploded, like in New York, the Triangle Tragedy, which was 100 years ago. They found the woman like a week later, still alive. 17 days. How many days? 17 days. 17? No. 17? Wow. That is an unbelievable miracle. And I think she's okay. They took her to the hospital, right? She was dehydrated, etc. 17 days. Wow. So, the Rabbanim put in the concept, Mayim She'ein Lechem Sof. What does that mean? Nathanael, if a kid drowns in a bathtub, you can testify he is dead. If the kid disappears in the Mediterranean, how can you testify? He can crawl away and maybe he'll come ashore in Greece, in Italy, in Spain, right? They all are bound by the Mediterranean, if I'm not mistaken. That is called Mayim She'ein Lechem Sof. Wow. It's a rabbinic law. In the 1200s, a ship capsized. It's a whole question whether it was off Italy or France. Reb Lezer Meir Verdun, Verona, Paskind. Guy disappeared. A few years have gone by again. There's a variant reading, I believe it's in the Mordechai, 5 years, 7 years. Didn't contact his family. That is the greatest proof that he is dead. It is called a Vad Zichro. That is the halachic rubric. Never forget it. Whenever you get involved in Ebenezer, you're going to come across that concept of Vad Zichro. The fact that he does not contact his family shows he is dead. All right. First of all, you have to know, and this is based upon a Mishnah in Yevama at the end, you have to know that he gets along with his wife. There are families, and I need not elaborate, where a guy and his wife, they look at each other, they throw dishes at each other. They curse each other. You ever hear Yiddish curses? It's unbelievable the way husbands and wives used to curse. Okay. A guy like that, if he can make believe the ship capsized, then, you know, he's in Borough Park on Tuesday, and he's in B'nai Brak by Wednesday night. Borough Park, he's beardless. By Shabbos in B'nai Brak, you can't even recognize him. He not only is growing a beard, he had a beard put onto his face. He went to some store that prepares you for Purim in B'nai Brak, and he told them, it's Hashamdan or Chapa, how can I walk around B'nai Brak on a board? And until his beard grows in, they already put a beard in his face. Go and recognize him. So you have to know they get along, right? They get along. Fine. Most marriages, normative marriages, all right, the husband and wife get along. No? Avant Sichro? Come on, what are we talking about here? Who knows what could have happened? The guy crawled ashore. How can he contact his wife? There are no phones. There are no Xerox machines. There are no computers. There's no International Red Cross. There's no mail. Avant Zichro. On that basis, you're going to be Mater and Esha Tish to remarry? And everyone dismisses Reb Lezer Meir Vadun, Avant Zichro. Tremendous controversy. What did he come up with? But, you know, he makes sense. Put it in the vault. Isn't that the Seinfeld expression when they have a secret? Am I right or wrong? Jerry? Boy, do I regret he wasn't my student. I taught his cousin, and she's a Bat Torah, married to a Talmud of mine. And Jerry, I lost out all because his mother intermarried. Had she remained in the Sfadic world, we wouldn't have a Jerry Seinfeld, but at least it'd be another family totally Shomer Shabbos. But she married an Ashkenazi, Seinfeld. What are the Ashkenazim worth? It's like the Hasidim and the Mitnagdim. Gentlemen, Avant Zichro. But as much as they dismissed Reb Lezer Meir Vadun, they kept it in the safe. Oh, with modernity. Already the Chatam Sofer. Reb Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. Reb Moshe Feinstein. Avant Zichro. In every case of Aguna, this remains a very powerful, potent, tangible sniff. Why? Very simple. The telegraph was developed. International mail. Red Cross. Today you have email. It's unbelievable. You don't even know where you're getting the email from. The whole world is interconnected. I tell people, you want to email me, cblevy@yu.org. YU, thousands and thousands of people work for YU. It's all one email. You don't know where it's from. Israel, New York, which campus in New York, etc. What a world. Today, if someone is alive, Avant Zichro becomes very important because he would have contacted his family. He would have found a way. Following World War II, we didn't have all the mechanisms we have today. And people were not stationary. People did not have an address. But you should know, Hayas worked overtime. The Israeli government, I don't know whether it's still on the radio, but for years and years and years, I used to hear on the radio, they had a special program, people trying to find relatives. But the world then was hari-kari, what Hitler did. No one was back where they were before the war. So we had tragedies of people who got ahead to remarry, and the first husband was still alive. But today, Avant Zichro, Reb Lezer Meir Vadun has been resuscitated. So Reb Moshe, you got to see the end of the tshuva, but it's not just Reb Moshe. All the poskim come back to this. And Reb Moshe says, even if two eidim come along today and say she was married, now we don't know what happened afterwards. And no one believes she got a get. And the grandmother was totally irreligious. Totally assimilated. doesn't mean anything, Reb Moshe says, because of Avad Zichro. The fact that he has never shown, he's never shown up, he hasn't surfaced so many years later with telegraph and telephones and mail and all that goes with it. Reb Moshe quotes the Chatam Sofer. It's the surest sign that he is dead. He's no longer alive. We don't have to be chayshish that she remarried without a get. We don't have to be chayshish that he was still alive. He's disappeared. The second marriage took place years later. He never contacted her. He was a soldier in World War I. Reb Moshe says, don't have to be chayshish. Reb Moshe says something else. And here I'm going to let you in on a conversation with Mori Rebbe, where I had the chutzpah to fight with the Rav, and he said I'm right and agreed with me. A great moment in my life. When you study with your Rebbe, you don't know much. So I was a kid, I sat in front of the Rav, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61. How much did I know? It's not like Reb Aaron sat over there where you're sitting, Yehuda. And the Reb Aaron already knew Shas by heart. You know that. He went through Shas. He finished high school at the age of 14. And from 14 to 16, he sat in the Chaim Berlin based Medrash and went through Shas ala Seder. I don't believe he's gone through Shas ala Seder subsequently. He remembers, he remembers word by word what he went through at that time. So Reb Aaron sat there. So the Rav, whenever he got frustrated with the kids in front of him, and he was ready to, my days, he was still very, very stark and could get very angry. So Moshe, he would say, Nu Aaron, was kukich, zag, zag. Turn to Reb Aaron and say, Aaron, what am I looking for? Give it to me. Explain. Read. So Reb Aaron saved the shiur time after time. I didn't know much. My students turned me into a very wise man. Me tell me da yote mi kulam, di gemara in tainet, daf tzayin. I don't have time now to explain the gemara, but I think you understand it. I write about it in quoting the Rav, in I believe volume 2 of the Rav. I quote the Rav talking about that gemara and why it's that way. So by 1978, I knew a little bit. I spent the Shabbos in Boston and spent hours with the Rav and spoke and learning with him, 10 Hancock Road. It was that Shabbos, or he was in Addington Road and we walked the Hancock, whatever. He was, I think he was already staying with the Tweskies, but Shabbos afternoon he was in the Rebbetzin's home, Zichrono Levracha. And we're talking and learning and we're walking and... So one of the topics we're talking about, because these were topics that I already was exploring, was bothered by, and people asked me about, so we were talking about civil marriage. No, if you hold that civil marriage needs a get in the state of Israel, lo aleinu, you have potentially tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of mamzerim. Because you're dealing with children of Russian people, you're dealing with children who are balei tshuva, and if civil marriage needs a get in Russia, who got get? Who got given? There was no religious marriage. There was civil marriage. Jew married Jew many times. It's never a divorce with a get. American kids, reformed, conservative, learning in every yeshiva, in every seminary. So if the Rav agrees with Rav Henkin, we have 1,000,001 mamzerim. So I said to Rebbe, and I knew the sugya, I spoke with him about it. Again, I'm pressed by time. But if you look into to Hilchat Ishit, Perek Aleph, you'll see Halach Aleph, Halach Bet. If Rav Henkin holds that even though Nitna Torah and Nitchatsha Halacha, the basic concept of Halacha Aleph remains. And if that's so, it means if a man and woman live together and share an apartment and share a bank account, that is marriage. That is marriage. That creates marriage. And the fact that today you need a formal kesef shtava bia doesn't obliviate or doesn't nullify or doesn't abrogate the original basic human concept. Are you with me, Danny? That's Rav Henkin. The Rav agreed with Rav Henkin. So imagine a wise aleck kid, a little kid from the Bronx, I say to Rebbe, okay, let's say you and Rav Henkin are right. But that's only if she can remarry. If she can remarry, there, if she's an Eshadish, we're talking about a Chiyuv Mita, we're talking about a Chiyuv Courage, we're talking about a death penalty. But the kid is a Mamza. A Mamza remarrying is only a love. Epshel by a love, we can be more Mekil, and we can be Samach on Rav Moshe. And the Rav said, you know, you may be right. You may be right. You have something. This is exactly what Rav Moshe says right here in the last paragraph. That even if the woman were chayshish, maybe she couldn't remarry. If she had come to us after the marriage to the Turkish soldier, it could very well be we would say, lady, you're an Eshadish, and an Eshadish cannot remarry. But we're talking about the kid today. The kid is a chayvei lav, it's a mamza. Lo yavo mamza b'kal Hashem. No, a lav is a lot less than a chiyuv mita. And therefore, here we can be mekel. Here we can be samachan avad zichro. Here we can permit the child to marry. And that's what Rav Moshe says. And listen to these words. Shelo shayach la'asar habanim midin mamzeret. V'hein k'sheirim lihinasei b'kahal. Below shum fikfuk, without any doubt. Zekencha ohavacha belev v'nefesh. Your grandfather who loves you heart and soul, Moshe Feinstein. It's quite a chiver. Yes, yes, Nachum.
In order, once you've said it's allowed, then have to find a reason to go over that line.
Yeah, of course.
So the reason you're going to find...
Avad Zichro. We can already be Mekil Mitzad Avad Zichro.
Right, so you're being Mekil on her, basically. You're basically saying that she wasn't married.
Yeah, no, we're being Mekil, right. The kid, in Mamzerit, it's always the parents. What did the kid have to do with it? Right. That's the Medrash Rabbah.
But let's say that he's not missing. This was a civil marriage. She got married the first time.
So that's what I was saying to the Rav, and the Rav agreed with me. There are many poskim who say that. I've uncovered a lot of poskim. Because in civil marriage, we wouldn't necessarily permit her to remarry, but we would permit the kids to marry.
So basically, it's a bidiyah, but you're saying she's already married, and now we're dealing with the kids, so we're going to say that because the kid is alive, we're going to say that...
Because the kid is alive, we can be Samach on Rav Moshe. We don't have to be machmir like Rav Henkin or like the Rav. And I have to tell you, the world doesn't know that the Rav was machmir. I see, civil marriage. So lo pashut. Because if the Rav is correct, we have a terrible situation. But all right, with the children, it's a love, and the fact is, in kulat and poskim, it's a very, very difficult question. Does that apply today or it doesn't apply today? It's the whole question of Chazakat. When Rabbi Rachman and Rabbi and Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik fought so bitterly over Tavla Meitiv Du Meitiv Amarla. So the Rav held that's ontological. Right? You know what that word means. It's a fancy word. The Rav taught it to me. Ontological. It's part of the creation. So it never changes. So I asked the Rav Aaron, I said, Aaron, take a look when it comes to Enadon Son, Bilat to Bilat Snut. You take a Chazak, which the Gemara said openly, and so many Achronim say it doesn't apply today. So you see a Chazakah changes. So, of course, Rav Aaron said, the Rav felt that Tavla Meitav Du was not a chazaka like. In other words, Obama, President of the United States, is no more than a trained monkey. Understand? Homosexuality, wonderful, good, fine. Two men, two women, man, woman, divorce, remarry. Premarital relations. God have mercy. We're coming from a different world. But nowadays, the average person growing up without Torah, to him, no, he's a trained monkey, pardon me. No concept of Kedusha, no concept of holiness. The Prime Minister of Israel, how many wives has he had? Three. Who knows what else? There was a, you remember with David Levy, if you lived there, the affair? My brother knew the woman, believe it or not, that's a small country. Her husband was an ophthalmologist. My brother's an ophthalmologist. They did surgery together. God have mercy. You understand? So, Ein Adam Aseh Bilata Bilat Snut can change. If you live like this, and God have mercy, out of Chovev Vetorah came that letter, that's just beyond halachic Jewish Torah comprehension. That homosexuality is perfectly normative. Shem Yirachem. You don't know the harm that does. How many young people will not get help? And then people like me have to defend ourselves. We're not here to shoot, kill, but we're here to... You should hear the Rav when this issue first came out in the 1970s. He makes me look like a reformer. When he was hysterical. But Tav Lamentiv Du, the Rav felt, was in the very inner human psychological personality. It's not something that is measured by contemporary standards, but it will be true from Kriyat Briyat HaOlam Ad Biyat Mashiach Tzidkenu Ve'ad Va'ad B'klal. Got it? That's what the Rav felt. So you see, Rav Moshe, with the children, all right, even if you hold, even if Rav Henkin is right, even if the basic concept, then you have to differentiate. It's a terrible problem. On the Upper West Side, my grandson once spent the Shabbat there and he came back, was shocked. But it was a terrible thing for him to see, and I don't know, it might have, it's a terrible thing, it has an impact. Show me Shabbos kids that I knew from Israel who studied here. The girls come Friday night, I don't want to go further. God have mercy. Is in an apartment there? No? Are they married? And at the end of a few months, she's sleeping with some other boy, other man. No get. And then she marries. And has five children. She became frum. She came in Aliyah. Are the kids Mamzerim? Not Mamzerim. Did that mean you have no idea what difficult and how widespread these problems are? But okay, we paskin like Rav Moshe, but even according to the Rav and Rav Henkin, men can make a sign with the children. And Rav Moshe says it openly. Yes, yes, Danny. Where do you see it in the Rambam?
He says there are two kinds of Ein Adam Aseh Bilata Bilat Snut. So he rejects the Gaonim and say it's categorical. He says it depends on the circumstances.
So that's what you're referring to. So you say depends on the circumstances, but by Tav Lamentav Du Me Lamentav Amalach, he doesn't discuss it in any detail. But the Rav turned it in, and I believe the Rav is correct. That's all I can tell you. I can tell you, Bishat Ma'aseh, my wife has two aunts. Excuse me?
You got the letter later.
I can't hear.
I'm sorry.
Two aunts who never married. One finally married much later. And these women were very independent, rebelled against everything, rebelled against their parents, rebelled against religion. The unbelievable. Two women. Two sisters. And later in life, these independent women who were way ahead of feminism. And they both said to my wife, the biggest mistake they made was not marrying young and having a husband and family. And I said, and that was mamash at the sea of the machloket, at the pinnacle of the machloket between the Rav and Rabbi Rachman. So I think the Rav is correct. It's not, I'm not saying it because he's my Rebbe. This just seeing life, I think he's absolutely correct. But this is one of the big problems of feminism. And I want to add, let me add one word. Someone wrote to me, a girl wrote to me, and she used the words about the boys are a bunch of nudniks. So I just want to tell you, young women out there, and of course women are much brighter than men, and much more mature than men, and are much more sensitive than men, and bini yateira benashim, the Gemara and Nida, all this is true. But you have to understand, these are men, this is the way they're created. A smart woman picks a man who shows promise, okay? A woman has to help him develop. And a smart woman does it in a way that he doesn't even know his wife is polishing him. But men may be nudniks, but it's better to have a nudnik than to be left alone with no one nagging you. Okay? In my humble opinion, and this is Tavla Meitav Dumen and Meitav Amalah with a lot of halachic implication. Okay. Anyway, this is what Reb Moshe says, and this is my conversation with the Rav, and I didn't know Reb Moshe, this tshuva hadn't appeared yet, but I uncovered it afterwards. I'll show you. I uncovered it in many places that we have to be mavchin between the woman, the eshet ish we marrying, and between the children being able to marry. All right, let me go. What did you want to ask?
Just two basic things. First of all, the kesef sharon bias the rabbanon. That's universally accepted. That
who says it's the rabbanon? What are you talking about? The rabbanon.
Marriage for a Jew is the same as for ben Noach, just living together, and that's good enough. That's a
good no. That's what. That's what Rav Henkin and the Rav hold. They're looking to the Rambam. The Rambam deals with it twice. But the other poskim hold that once you come along with the formalities of kesef shtar and bia, it means that in order to create a marriage, you need the proper miskeret, the proper framework, and so then you'll say, well, there's always bia, and there's always chazaka shloshim yom, so that will only work if you say ein adam aseh bilata bilatznut. But in this day and age, God have mercy, Gidon Sa'ar, I believe Gidon Sa'ar, you can check it out, I believe he was raised in Chinuch Haredi, Chinuch Atzma'i. So he left his wife for over 20 years, children, and he shacked up, pardon the expression, with this TV personality who left her husband. They just got married last week. She's 4 or 5 months pregnant. I mean, what bilatznut? God have mercy. Not only that, he's parading around at his own wedding without a kippah. All the pictures and all the papers shown without a kippah.
So
is Masada Kedushin
there?
No, who is Masada Kedushin?
Rav
Shmuel Rabbanovitz. Rav Shmuel Rabbanovitz from the cult, like the rabbi for celebrity. I don't want to criticize him. You need a rabbi, but it's very frightening. These people, this is why we are different. This is why... Our Shabbat is different, our Kashrut is different, our Tarek Mishpachar is different, our whole concept of life is different. And this is the heart of being a Jew. We live in a big world, all right, on that level we're the same. If we can discover a cure for cancer, it's a cure for the whole world. Everyone will dance with joy. If France just praised Israel today, they're getting maslatim. How do you say that in matosahil, lo tayas? How do you say that?
Drones.
That's the word in English. Drones. Maslatim. Maslat. So France announced today the only two countries in the world that manufacture high-class drones are America and Israel. No, at that point, I'm not rejoicing as a Jew. I'm rejoicing as Gevetoshev, that look, we're part of the big world and we're succeeding. All right, but that's the pshat, plain and simple. Gentlemen, the same Ebenezer, Siman Chaf. What's fascinating here, it's 1974, and here the tshuva is to Seattle. Now, a few words about Seattle, Washington. They have always had a very, it's not a large community, it's a small community, But there has always been a frum Torah presence in Seattle. It's very fascinating from time immemorial. What's interesting about Seattle, today in the heart of Seattle, there are two tremendous shuls. I think they're both called Bikur Cholim. One is Ashkenazi, one is Sfardi. They are literally around the corner from each other, and they get along b'shalom u'v'shalva. Another interesting part of Seattle, which is the home of high tech, of Boeing, I think Microsoft. It's also where what's that coffee chain? The famous Starbucks began. I was at the original Starbucks in downtown Seattle, right at the pier, right at the pier. That's where it all began. It's like a shrine, and you should know that after the first minyan at the Ashkenazi shul, there's a bus outside, and everyone gets on. I look at them. They all work at Microsoft. And Microsoft has a bus that picks them up, the shul, they all fill in, and off to high tech they go. Now, they've always had some very fine rabbanim. And this tshuva is to Rav Moshe Landinsky. If I'm not mistaken, that's from the Rodden family, the Landinsky family from Rodden. I'm pretty sure I'm right. Rav Moshe addresses him as Rav the Av Beitin in Seattle. And it's a very similar question. As I told you, you can multiply these Mamzerit questions tens of thousands of times over. 1960, 70, 80, 90, 2000. It's a gushing storm, Baruch Hashem, of Balei Tshuva, of people like that kid who learned in BMT and suddenly woke up that you need to get, he learned a little. And he was so worried he's a mamza. A girl comes to the Rav and her mother, suddenly she hears rumors that her mother was married once before. And she goes to her mother, and her mother tells her, yes, 30 years ago I was married to a man about a year and a half in Canton, Ohio. And the marriage took place in a Beit Knesset orthodoxy, Reb Moshe writes. But the girl believes they separated and did not have a get. And the mother doesn't remember who the Rav was who was Masada Kedushin, and she has no papers to prove that she was married. But there are relations of the husband and of that first husband who told the Rav, yes, she was married to our relative more than 30 years ago. Now, this Rav Moshe Landinsky from the Landinsky family, it has to be his father or grandfather, was a Rosh Yeshiva in Rodden. I believe it was his grandfather. And he went to visit Rav Moshe. And when he was in New York, he asked Rav Moshe the Shaila, can the girl marry or is she chas v'chalila mamzeret? And Rav Moshe told him that she can absolutely lavo b'kahal, it is not a problem. When he got back to Seattle, he probably told some of the people there, and in the shul there always has been a little group of Lamdanim. I saw it with my own eyes recently, and they tell me this is from time immemorial. So they asked the rabbi, Luke, how is Reb Moshe Matia? So the poor rabbi writes to Reb Moshe, please explain to me the basis for your psak. And Reb Moshe says that. He says, and now you want me to bavera your care. I should tell you why I paskin the way I did. And he says, hine yadua shehaein ein lo nemonot. The mother, we're talking, this is all mitzad the mother. It's a gezeret hakatuv, yakir, that the father has to recognize who his children are, who the Bukhar is. And he's the only one who can parcel out a child and say that she or he is a mamza. And he goes into all the sources. Reb Moshe goes into all the sources. And Reb Moshe says, and as far as the woman, so all these years, the mother never mentioned it. Suddenly, the girl hears rumors and asks the mother, but she has no nemanut. If it's litzol et bita. And then Reb Moshe says, and you talk about the relatives of the first husband. So Reb Moshe says very beautifully, these are relatives. They're not kasher l'ha'id. Relatives, krovim, apsulim. But not only that, who says they're from? What are we dealing with here? And you see, what Reb Moshe touches upon here is America. And I can tell you a very fascinating story where you see this come to life. It happened in the mid-1950s. A rav, a graduate of the yeshiva. And he was Masada Kedusha, and he was from. To be sure that he had kosher edim whenever he had an American wedding, and you got to remember an American wedding, who was there as Shomer Shabbos? Who was not a close relative? You don't know what America was like. When I was Masada Kedusha in the rabbinate, 62 to 69, Maplewood, New Jersey, I took a student of mine from New York. I had the family pay him, cover his coffee, and give him a gift. Took a student to stand with me under the chuppah. There should be two kosher eidim. So this rabbi boasted that he, whenever he had a doubt that he wouldn't find the Shomer Shabbos aid, he brought his brother to be an aid with him. No, is there anything wrong with that? Two aidim, two brothers. So you see, Reb Moshe says here that so the relatives of the first husband, but so what? They're krovim. Now, you should know, with krovim, it's a very interesting sugya, because what is pasul d'oraita? What is pasul d'rabbanan? Basically, what is pasul d'oraita is rishon berishon. What does a rishon berishon mean? Two brothers. Now, if you take the children of the brothers, you wind up sheni b'sheni. They're already, it's probably a psul d'rabbanan, not a psul d'oraita. But the Rabbanan made many takanot with krovim. And today, in general, when we're Masada Kedusha, you'll see they don't want to take cousins. Not to get involved. You know, you can make a case, maybe a sheni b'sheni is no good, but a shlishi b'shlishi, a shlishi b'revii, a shlishi b'sheni, you can start all types of mathematical progressions, but in general today we do not take krovim whatsoever. But you see, Reb Moshe here is very strong, very stark, and he keeps on moving black and white, and you have to say to yourself, where does Reb Moshe get the guts? I mean, people are gossiping this up. Someone is saying Ada, someone is talking, someone is commenting. And in back of Reb Moshe's mind is Kivin the Nitna. These are all the poskim who deal with Mamzeret. This gives them peace of mind. You can't poskim. You can't say, all right, walk away, disappear, go on Aliyah to Israel, get married, and don't reveal any details. And they will come to you, say to you, don't test them. All that is true. But what Reb Moshe has here, Yakir, it's the father, not the mother. And inevitably, all these questions will be mitzad the mother. So Reb Moshe has an open sugya on his side. Then you're going to talk about the krovim of the first husband. Who are the krovim? What are they? Where do they stand? And this is exactly Reb Moshe. He says at the end, when he ends off the tshuva, and he writes in parentheses in Yiddish, marriage license, spelt marriage at the end, Dalet Zayin. Im katuv sham shachayata kva nesua, av shalo katuv sham davhayu nesuin apid in Torah, yesh lachush levareah. So you see, at the end, Reb Moshe says something very interesting. If you can come up with a marriage license of her second marriage, and if the marriage license says she was married before, then you have to go further. And even though it doesn't say they were married al pidin, but then you would have to investigate further, and then you would probably get involved with the whole question of civil marriage, of whether the first marriage had Eidim Kesherim, and Poskim will take this approach down the line because it's Shatz HaDachak, Hefsid Merubah, in the sense of human tragedy. And I'll show you more. Now, I want to ask a question. Moshe, did you ask around?
I got two.
I want to ask a question. You can say, give me an answer tomorrow. Certain students asked me to teach next week. Another student said they're bechinat coming. I have to tell you very honestly, I've never taught after Shavuot because when I once attempted to teach after Shavuot in the Kollel maybe 40 years ago, 30 years ago, whenever the Kollel began, more than 30 years, I had no students. They had exams. My class, there are no exams. The only one who gets an exam is the Rebbe. And if you come and you walk away and say, the Rebbe knows something, I passed. If you say, the Rebbe's an Amoritz, I have flunked. But I want to know, I'm willing to teach next week, but only on condition I have students. I don't want to walk into an empty room. I have what to do. I have a world of work that I must accomplish in the next few weeks. But that's not important. Teaching is the most important thing in the world for me. But I have to know I have students. I appoint Moshe Spira and Danny Shulman, a committee of two, to let me know tomorrow where we stand. Let me reiterate, and don't run, I have what to show you. Anyway, we'll come back to Reb Moshe next week, and I have to deal with I'm going to introduce you to Reb Tzvi here, to Reb Tzvi Hirschayot. I'm going to introduce you to an unbelievable, unbelievable world. Okay, now, what did we do today? Mamzeret. The whole concept of Mamzeret, not in great detail, but what we need for the understanding of how Reb Moshe was Matir time and again. And behind it is, of course, the mother does not have the power to Asa, Kivin Dinitman Nitma'a. All the Mamzeret Shelas will flow from the mother, not the father, because a father can have endless women. Look at Shlomo HaMelech, Baruch Hashem, what a role model, and everyone quotes Shlomo HaMelech today, David HaMelech, they quote Rabbi, what's his name, Berland, I don't want to use the word Rabbi, Gutzalapin, what's going on, and I even found the YU connection there, but we'll leave that for another time. So it's a fascinating topic, and we're not finished with it yet. And we're all within the realm of the kuntres of the Shach, what he means by Shat HaDachat. Now, I want to show you something. I made a Shachar Yanuar and I was jumping for joy. I always pick up the freebies. And my wife says, what are you wasting your time looking at? And I say, you never can tell when you learn something. So in this freebie, Mimaynecha Yeshua, you have no idea how many problems this solves. The greatest problem in the world is to give hechshe to a hotel which has to serve food on Shabbos. Everyone wants something hot. You have a 5-star hotel, and imagine you're telling Goyim, and remember the more Goyim that come into Israel and the happiest guy alive at the Kotel when we do my minion davens with the plug, and Goyim are videoing us davening. And I tell the people around me, this is a Kiddush Hashem, it's not Shabbos yet. Let them video us, let them go back to wherever they're going and show Jews davening at the Kotel that this is our home, this is our shrine, this is our temple. So a guy wants hot soup Shabbos. He's paying $400 a night to stay in the King David, and you're going to tell him Shabbos? And it's a tremendous problem. And the hotels under Good Hashkacha, they have Goyim do this, Goyim do that. I don't like Eitzot with Goyim. The whole Shiloh, when can you reheat something? If there's liquid, Rebbe Avadya's Psak, I think it's a third liquid and not more, okay. And Rebbe Moshe, I remember in the Homowak, I remember Ruvi Davidman, Zichrono Levracha, was a fabulous Jew, showing me the shelves they put in above the fire that Reb Moshe was there and told them what to do. And these shelves cannot become Yad Soledet, but they become warm, that at least the food is heated out. It's the biggest problem. Then there's another problem. If you leave it on a blech, veis oiskedat, how do you explain that? It loses its freshness. You're going to leave kugel on the blech overnight like we do in shuls. Gentlemen, a caterer who is from and was always bothered by this problem, invented, look at that machine. It is a Frigidaire and an oven combined into one. The food is put in before Shabbos. It is, you set the controls, the time clock, the controls, until 2 hours before you want it to serve. It's a Frigidaire. It then turns into a heating instrument, and 2 hours later, you pull out a chalon that is piping hot and unbelievably fresh. It was first tried out at Kibbutz Lavi, the first machine they made. The kibbutz now owns 5 of them. It has hechsherim from everybody, from Tzomet to Rabbi Halperin. Ash Rei Ayin Ra'ata Zot. Give me another minute. In last week's shir, Larry Zeifman from Toronto, you must about Gedolim in Basebuild and mention Rav Kamenetsky. As you know, Rav Yaakov was in Toronto for a number of years. I asked my dad if he would know about Rav Kamenetsky and baseball. He said he didn't know about the Rav himself, but he could say for sure that all his kids played a lot of baseball. So that would include Reb Shmuel, Reb Nosson, Reb Binyamin. Who else? There's the youngest one is a businessman. Now listen to this, Josh Schneider. Josh, by the way, please, that error in legacy, calling Reb Chaim Volozhin, Reb Chaim Rabinovich, I want confirmation that the authors know they made a mistake. Because if they're right, then we're all wrong. But if we're right, they should acknowledge it. Please let me know. Josh writes, Dear Rebbe, regarding the Rav's first fight about Duchening and Shabbos, so he tells me a story I heard from Bernie Schrenzel. I don't know who that is, but a classmate of Izzy Miller's, a classmate of Rabbi Israel Miller, Rabbi David Miller's father, Zichrono Levracha. These were Talmidim of the Rav in the 30s, of the Reb Moshe. That the same thing happened with Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, that when he came to America and he davened in the Beis Medrash at YU, they did not duchen when Shabbos coincided with Yontif. Reb Moshe went crazy. ... The rest is history. Gentlemen, I wouldn't miss tomorrow's class for all the calls being made in America around the IRS scandal, trying to connect it to Obama. Because tomorrow I reveal the pull of the seminary of Professor Ginsburg, who he was, What a fascinating story, and why so many Talmidim of Reb Meisher and the Rav left Ritz to go to JTS, and how I think that impacted upon Bernard Riffel Graduate School. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya. You can have it.
No, I read it. Who's Rav Halperin?
It's Unbel Friedman is the name of the
who's
guy.
Who's Halperin?
Halperin is Machon the Beit Vagan. That's Rabbi Halperin. He's the bigger.
Technology
and halacha. Yeah. That's Rabbi Halperin. Of course. It's a fascinating story. That's all I can tell you.
I know the editor of the book there.
You know who?
The editor.
Tell her that was.